You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. When the world champion Chicago Cubs, how about that, were honored at the White House, President Barack Obama said to them, "What took you so long?" He was speaking for generations of Cubs fans, none more so than our guest. He went to work for the Cubs in 1982, becoming its public relations director. Now, the former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, he fulfilled a promise from 71 years ago. And here to tell the story on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball is Ned Colletti. Great to have you on the show. But before we talk about fulfilling the promise, you had, during the National League Championship Series, obviously divided loyalties as a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers front office.
Well, yeah, yes and no, Ed. I was obviously an employee of the Dodgers at that point in time and had some hand in putting together the 2016 club. So I was rooting hard for the Dodgers. I thought that we had a chance to beat them, especially when we were up 2-1, and it shut them out back-to-back games. But Cubs are world champions for a reason. But my loyalties were not divided at that point in time. Were simply all Dodger.
For a guy who went to his first Cubs game at age 5, more than 50 years ago, what was that like?
Well, it was. It's funny how life puts you in certain situations. And to think that I grew up there, and I probably went to Wrigley Field 300, 400 times as a kid. I used to go 30, 40 times a year. Every chance I got, I'd go. And to end up working for them for 13 years and moving on to the Giants for a little more than a decade, then to the Dodgers for a little more than a decade, to be in the ballpark the night that the Cubs won the pennant at Wrigley Field for the first time since 1945 was remarkable. Once I got over the idea that the team I helped put together got beat, it was quite the scene. It was something that so many people had never seen. And then a couple weeks later, Cleveland, Game 7, now you got yet another chapter that people have never seen that are still alive.
Exactly right. Let's go back to 1945, which was the last time the Cubs appeared in the World Series prior to last October. It's Game 5 of that World Series against the Detroit Tigers. And the World Series will return after Game 5 to Detroit. So it's the Cubs' last home game, win or lose. And your uncle, Frank, is not at the game. But there's a great story behind the circumstances under which he was not at the game and led to you fulfilling a promise 71 years later. Go ahead.
Well, the way that day unfolded, according to Colletti lore, as they say, my dad's family, his father died when he had many, many young children. He had 8 children, my grandfather and grandmother. And at 8 children, he died a young man, leaving his widow and 8 kids. So the brothers, there were 5 brothers, 3 sisters. Everybody kind of looked out for each other. So they were a very, very tight-knit group. And on that Saturday night, on the eve of Game 5, my oldest uncle, Pasquale, my third oldest uncle, Joe, my dad, Ned Sr., and are going to go to the game. They don't have tickets. They're going to go down to the corner, get on a streetcar, go down to Halsted Street, get on another streetcar, and head over to Wrigley and stay out all night waiting to buy some bleacher seats the day of the game. Back then, it was you could still get a ticket or two day of the game from the box office, different than it is today where everything is sold out in advance. So they go down there, they go down to the corner, and Frank, who is 5 years old at the time, or 11 years old at the time, comes down to the corner, and he's trying to go with his older brothers. And my dad was the second youngest. He was 15 at the time. And Frankie's crying. He wants to go. He's a big baseball fan, which is all true. But he's 11 years old, and the brothers are going to stay out all night and probably steal some bed sheets off of clotheslines and stay warm. And so they all tell him, "Frankie, we cannot take you. You're just too little right now." And my dad looks at him and says, "Frankie, you know what? If you were older, we would take you. We promise you we will take you next time." Well, my two uncles in the story, Pasquale and Joseph, they're deceased. My dad died a long time ago. My last living uncle is Frank. And next time happened to be this year, 71 years later. I mean, who would have thought that, right? But that's when it came up, and I was able to get a couple tickets. So I took my uncle to the game, and I took him to games 3, 4, and 5 at Wrigley. And he sat through those games almost in tears half the time because of the overwhelming joy. I mean, it's amazing what sports and what baseball, the passion that it brings to people and the connection that it brings to people. So I probably had the greatest 10 days of my baseball life between going to the World Series and having the Dodgers get to the LCS and almost win it and all these different dynamics, plus being able to help my last living uncle, who has been such a great baseball fan and such an inspiration in my life for many, many years.
He says to your uncle, "We'll take you next year. I swear to you, we're going to take you next year." Well, next year in 1946, in an 8-team league, the Cubs finished third. In 1947, they finished sixth. In 1948 and 49, they finished eighth. They finished last. In 1950, they finished seventh. In 1951, they finished last. And now it's beginning to look pretty dark for that promise.
Yes, and that's baseball. But it was really a family joke for a long time. And you know, you never know when a team is going to get to the World Series. And so for a long time, yeah, that story has been living for a very, very long time. I was working for the Giants in 2002. We played Anaheim in the World Series, and I brought my uncle out to that. He came begrudgingly because he wanted to wait for a Cubs World Series. He had never been to a World Series game. He says, "Come out with me to San Francisco, watch a couple World Series games with me." And he says, "Yeah, but it's not my Cubs." I says, "Well, your Cubs ain't in it right now." So he saw a couple games back in 02, but he had waited. He's 83 years old. I mean, he's been a long time to have those days at Wrigley Field that he had this past October.
And you said it was a family joke. Was this something that Frank lived with all these years that either he would up or another member of the family would bring up?
Always. It came up every baseball season. And he'd always say, "Yeah, you know, your dad, my brothers, you know, wait till I get up to heaven and wait till I have a conversation with them. They said they're going to take me next time. Next time's never come up." You know, so it was always, we talk baseball all the time. My uncle loves baseball, and, you know, it's a lot of his life. And it's an interesting little tidbit here. He resembles a little bit Tommy Lasorda.
Uh-huh.
And so whenever we would be in Chicago and my uncle would come out and Tommy would be around and they'd look at each other, Tommy would go, "You look like my brother." And next thing you know, my uncle would be walking around Wrigley Field in like a Dodger jacket. He did sell off his Cub loyalty for a little while, and people would start yelling at him, "Hey, Lasorda, Lasorda." So my uncle had a little bit of a treat there, too, with having a little bit of a resemblance to Tommy and having a little bit of connection to baseball. But my uncle's got a memory. You can go back to different situations, different games in the history of the sport, and he will remember different dynamics that even are lost on me. And I look him up and I say, "Is that the memory that this has been really something that's been a key part of his lifetime?"
And through all the years, we're with the former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, but a guy who has fulfilled the promise to his uncle after 71 years, a couple of Chicago guys, Ned Colletti, and speaking about his uncle, Frank Colletti. And through the years, Frank collected all sorts of memorabilia, right? Yearbooks, clippings, all sorts of stuff about the team.
He, many years ago, my aunt, Aunt Charmaine, who was Frank's wife, she passed away a few years back. Frank had collected all Cub yearbooks and newspaper clippings for years, including the last time the Cubs won the pennant, including the game 5 that he was left out of attending. And he had collected all this stuff, and my family was visiting their house. This goes back probably 40 years now. And my aunt calls me into a spare room, and she says, "In this bag, I have all your uncle's yearbooks and newspapers. Don't tell him I'm giving them to you, but he never looks at them, and I'm going to throw them away if you don't want them."
Oh, boy.
And I says, I'm taking them.
What are you, nuts? So what, crazy?
I've got yearbooks. I've got yearbooks from the mid-40s to the late 50s and a lot of newspaper clippings.
But does is part of the memorabilia also did his three brothers, did Frank's three brothers, including your dad, did they keep the ticket stubs from Game 5?
They kept the ticket stubs, and they also kept the scorecard from that day.
So all that did was rub salt in the wound for your Uncle Frank.
Yes, but it made a great story, Eddie.
It does make a great story, which we're talking about right now. So Game 5, the Cubs play. They now have to return to Detroit for Game 6 and 7, and they wind up losing. 1,000 years later, you go to work for the Chicago Cubs, become their public relations director, and in 1984, it's looking really good for Frank after a space of only 39 years that he's going to get an opportunity to go to the World Series. The Cubs are up 2-0 in a 5-game series against the San Diego Padres.
Yes, we're up 2-0, best of 5 LCS at that point. There was no division series. It went two teams. Division winners played each other in the LCS, best of 5. Cubs won the first two games at Wrigley. Everybody was excited. Went out to San Diego and got swept in 3, including leading 3-0 in Game 5, the deciding game in the 6th inning. San Diego got 2 runs in the 6th, and then they got 3 runs in the 7th. We lost 5-3. Luckily, my uncle was not there, and my uncle was actually at the Bears game that day. It was a Sunday. And it was the day that Walter Payton actually set the NFL rushing record. So my uncle, everybody was listening. He said, everybody was listening to the game on the radio while they're watching the Bears. And he said, it's just as well I didn't get to see Leon Durham and the ball go underneath his glove. So there's all sorts of things. And I sat with my uncle also in 03 when you had the eighth inning in Game 6 where, Bartman, gets in the way or doesn't get in the way of a foul ball and all these other different things occur. I was sitting with them then for Game 6. And if you remember Game 7, the Cubs also had a lead Game 7 of that LCS. And I sat with my uncle both games and he just wept. He just sat there and cried. You know, we were there so long after the game, probably 20 minutes, he just sat in the chair and cried. And the usher says, hey, you got to go, you know. So he'd been through all kinds of things. And then in 08, I'm running the Dodgers, and we play the Cubs in the first round, and we sweep them in 3 straight. And he looks at me, and he says, I can't believe you did this. I said, hey, I'm not doing nothing. It's my team. Leave me alone, you know. We won the game. It's just too bad. And then this year, in the 9th inning of the 6th game of the LCS, the game the Cubs win the pennant, I'm standing up watching the game. Place is on fire, obviously. And my uncle, with 3 outs to go in the 9th inning, and it's obvious which way this game is going to go, barring a miracle. I look at my uncle, I go, are you doing okay? And he grabs my arm, and he says, you better not screw this up now. And I said, hey. That was the last 10 minutes of watching the Cubs win the pennant.
Wow. And your team has lost, and yet you're so happy for him. Now in the 2016 World Series, which opens in Cleveland, and the Indians come to Chicago for Game 3, and it's really a must-win situation for the Cubs, and you're there with Frank. Tell us about that day leading up to sitting down in the seats.
Well, he got there early. His son also came. My cousin, Frank Jr., came. And so we met appropriately at the Ron Santo statue outside of the gate at Sheffield and Addison. Sheffield is the right field, the street that is behind right field at Wrigley Field. And we met there, and he was anxious. He kept pacing, saying, let's go sit down. We got there like 2 hours before the game, and let's go sit down. Let's go sit down. I mean, he was like just wired and needed the game to start, you know. Reminded me of kind of me in an executive role where you're anxious and you need to get this type of thing. And they lost Game 3 and they lost Game 4 and we're going to Game 5 and now it's a deciding game. And he looks at me and he says, I've waited all these years. I guess I gotta wait one more day to see him actually win a World Series game. And, of course, they prevailed in that game, and they won Game 6, and they won Game 7. And he didn't go to Cleveland with me. The whole experience, the crowd, the travel, had probably enough at that point in time. But as soon as the game was over, within seconds of the last out, with Brian throwing the ball across to Rizzo, to end the World Series and make the Cubs the champions. I called him. Might have been 10 seconds after. I called him. He picked the phone up. I said, Uncle, how are you? And he kind of just whimpered. And then he just cried.
Sure.
So there was. He said he did not say one word to me for like 30 seconds. And I said, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Congratulations and have a good night. He never said a word. He just cried. So my uncle's cried a lot in the month of late October and November this past year.
Well, and
all tears of joy.
Do you wish that you could have been with him that night for Game 7? Or do you think he would have been best to be left alone?
I think he was best to be left alone. I think, you know, when you go to a game like that, people are standing up the whole game or sitting down, standing up. I think the emotion of it all was better spent where he spent it, which was at his daughter, sitting in the little television room watching TV with her and her husband, just the three of them. I think that's where he wanted to be, and he wanted to be in a place where he could just sit and watch the game and probably think back to all sorts of different things that he's seen. Because he's seen a lot. You know, if you remember a player from the 50s, Whitey Lockman, who ended up managing in the big leagues for a long time, including the Cubs. I was sitting with Whitey one day in the mid-80s. He was scouting for maybe Montreal. And we're sitting watching a game together, and my uncle comes by, and he's sitting there. And I introduce him to Whitey Lockman. He and Whitey Lockman must have talked for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And just about players and the game and different things. I mean, he is, you know, my uncle's a common guy. Worked in a factory, retired, loves baseball. Just, you know, there's no affluence to my uncle or arrogance. He's just a common baseball fan, just like a lot of people in the great city of New York. And for him to be able to see some of the people he got to meet along the way and to have the experiences that he's got was pretty remarkable. I did show him a few years ago. He came out to visit, and I showed him all the yearbooks because he hadn't seen them for 40 years.
Wow.
And he paged through them all. He paged through them, and he would tell you a story about every player as you went through.
Wow.
And then he says, at the end, he says, I'm going to take these back with me. I says, no, you're not. You know where to find them. They're going to stay here.
I love you, but only up to a point.
Yes, let's not overdo it.
Ned Colletti is with us for a few more moments on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. When the Red Sox won in 2004, did you have a certain perspective about that with all the stories of people who went to cemeteries to lay down pennants, put hats on headstones, or those that were elderly who finally lived long enough to see the Red Sox win a World Series? Did that have a special resonance for you and for the Colletti family?
It did to some extent, Eddie, because you know, it was a team that had waited a long time, a historic team in a great baseball city. Many similarities, but also differences because they hadn't waited as long. They obviously won much sooner. They hadn't waited as long. But you still seen, it was almost a prelude to what a Cub fan would be able to experience, especially like when you think about, you know, the hospital visits and people who would, stay out and drop off flowers or mementos or bobbleheads at grave sites. And, you know, a lot of that happened in Chicago, too. I can remember some of the pictures that I saw of Fenway, and I flash back to that on the night the Cubs won the World Series. And, of course, you were in Cleveland, so everybody's up late. It started, obviously, there was a rain delay in the game, and then it started raining really hard once the game was over. There was no on-field trophy presentation, ironically.
Right.
So, you know, there was this picture that was on social media of the corner of Clark and Addison Street, which is the front door to Wrigley Field. And it was taken at like 1 a.m. Chicago time. And it was a sea of people.
Right.
And I just remember seeing this and thinking, wow, what an event this is. And then they had the largest peaceful rally, I think, in top five in the history of the world when they had the parade.
Right.
It's such an amazing story in so many ways. And, you know, now it's over in a way because, you know, I doubt it's going to be another 108 years. But I doubt it.
What has his offseason been like, unlike any in his lifetime?
No, I think, he talks about it all the time. I talk to him probably every 10 days, 2 weeks. And I got a very, very poignant call from him, kind of an emotional call, maybe a month ago. It was probably a couple of weeks before Christmas, and I was out running around, and my cell phone rang, and I saw it was my uncle. So I picked up, and I said, "Unc, how you doing?" And he says, "I got to tell you something." He said, "It's been on my heart for a while." And again, Eddie, his wife died. They were the love of each other's life. His wife died probably 13 years ago, and so he's lived alone. And he's lived with really his daughters and his son, and he's lived really for baseball and the Chicago Bears. And he said, "I've been thinking about October. I've been thinking about the World Series. I've been thinking about how you've always taken care of me and looked out for me." And he's really done that for me, but this is his version of it. And he says, "I just want to thank you for making the last years of my life so special."
Wow.
And it broke me down. It
sure
put me in tears because, you know, we're a close family, and I grew up. You know, my parents, when they got married, they didn't have any finances to speak of. I lived in a garage till I was 5 years old. My parents lived in a garage the first 9 years of their marriage. So it's a hardworking Italian blue-collar family that went through a lot of different things. A lot of people died young, a lot of death in the family, a lot of sadness and sorrow, a lot of hard work. And have my uncle to be able to live as long as he's lived and to be able to experience what he's done, what he's been able to do, it's a tremendous blessing for me just to be able to help him do it and to see how much he enjoys what he's been able to do.
So well said. And the bottom line, Ned, is that in 2016, Frank Coletti was old enough to go to the game.
Yes, he was. A few more years, he might have been too old to go to the game. You think about jamming as many people in that little ballpark as they did up. A few more years, he may have passed, but we caught it right before the window closed.
And now with the Cubs returning so many great players, still with a very abundant farm system, the expectation that this could be the first of many, who knows? And now maybe Frank Coletti's going to start having an attitude, Ned. Like he's entitled.
Well,
we got to make up for lost time.
I'll be sure to keep him in check.
I bet so. Thanks so much for being with me, Ned. So that'll do it for Ned Coletti and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride. And thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.